It's time to swing into the golf world of today with Springdale Golf Live. Sponsored by our friends at the New Jersey Golf Foundation. Here's your host, Keith Stewart.
Oh, it's go time, folks. Good afternoon and welcome to Springdale Golf Live. I'm Keith Stewart. Thank you for tuning in to Fox Sports 920, The Jersey. Here's what's going on today. Fall's upon us, and that means the golf offseason is just around the corner. I'm going to share with you my secret for setting goals for your game in the winter months. But first, we need to discuss the Ryder Cup. What worked for Europe and what didn't work for the USA. Stay tuned because I'm going to give you my guaranteed 5-point plan for future U.S. success. Are you listening, PGA of America? I have a remedy. Great lead in there, Al. Thank you very much for that.
Hey, you're welcome. You picked it. Good Black Rose tune to start off the day. Terrific.
Well, it's very apropos for a number of subjects that we're going to cover today.
Okay.
One of the major ones will be the U.S. Ryder Cup team's defeat. Mm-hmm. Over there in Paris. Things didn't work out as well as we had thought they would as we were here just 1 week ago.
That's right.
About the same time talking to young Cannon over there in Paris.
Oh, yeah.
And he and I and you were all in great spirits and not so much anymore. But, you know, one of the things that has me in great spirits, Al.
And that is?
Is that my New York Rangers kicked off their season last night. And although they didn't win, they're a young team, new coach. I like where their head's at. So to all my fellow Ranger fans out there, we're back, baby.
There you go.
And I love me some Rangers. And if you're big on the sports thing, there's a little baseball game tonight around 7:30 up in Boston, you know, with the Red Sox. And Yanks are traveling up, you know, Jay Happ and Chris Sale on the mound at 7:30. You know, there hasn't been a really meaningful Yankee-Sox playoff game since, like, Don Zimmer and Pedro Martinez were in a UFC fight. So, I mean, I'm pretty excited about that tonight. You know, more excited than I am to talk about the U.S. Ryder Cup. So I'm going to go over one more thing before I get there
I
get on my rant. I would like to congratulate the Women's Princeton golf team for running and hosting a fantastic tournament last weekend at Springdale Golf Club. Although they didn't win, congratulations to the Penn State Nittany Lions. They did beat someone last weekend. It certainly wasn't Ohio State. But they did win the Women's Princeton Invitational. But Erica DeSani, coach of the women's team, women's Tigers, they came in third place. Best Ivy League team there, which is great. You know, she's working on a third Ivy League title in a row.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, the Nittany Lions did win. So congratulations to them. And congratulations to Erica on running a great event and the staff over there at Springdale for taking care of things. And it was just... Thank you, Al.
You're welcome.
You know, you always make me feel so applauded. But, you know, and one other quick thing is that one of Erica's new recruits, Emma Zhao, the freshman, she finished tied for second individual by shooting one under for 36 holes.
Wow.
So, I mean, that to me was, you know, a sign of great things to come. So a freshman standout, 18 years old from California, came in and she led the Lady Tigers in her first ever tournament. So pretty darn cool to me. You know, I'm excited about that. But without further ado, we are going to get into the debacle it is, the U.S. Ryder Cup, and why, on paper, we would win every year, but when they actually play the matches, we've lost 9 of the last 12.
Hmm.
So at basically 2 years a match, an extra year in there for 9-11, that's 3 wins in 25 years. And that's probably not the success level that we're used to here in America. And you know, a lot of people wonder why that is. And there's been a lot of fallout, Al, since last Sunday and Europe raised the cup. Patrick Reed's come out and he's criticized the captain. He's criticized Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth says everything's okay. Then Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson are supposedly in a scuffle in the European team locker. It's just a lot of drama.
Yeah.
You know, it's like daytime drama. And I don't think that's the reason why we lost. I think more of the reason why we lost was that, let's say, Phil and Tiger went 0 for 6, didn't score a point.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the captain's picks went Let's see. Three of the captain's picks went 0-for-9. Thank God for Tony Finau being a captain's pick. He went 2-1. Some of the guys that were playing really well, Webb Simpson, Tony Finau, they sat out twice. It just seemed like whatever plan that Jim Furyk had on paper needed to be adjusted at some point. And without a little flexibility and a little maneuvering, the Europe team just came through. And I tell you, they just flat out played better. And all the different golf pundits have been talking about it all week. And what's interesting is that they just keep bringing up all of this negative content. You know, Tiger went 0-4-0 in the matches, so he didn't win a match. His overall record is 13-21-3. And he's pretty good in the singles matches, but we can't ever find him a partner. I think Tiger's only won one Ryder Cup match
right. In
his whole career. He's got 14 major championships. He's got 6 USGA championships. He's got pretty much every golf record known to man. And he's won one Ryder Cup. And then, you know, I was listening to SiriusXM the other day, and they were talking about how why can't the U.S. team get along? Well, hang on for a second. I was up at Liberty National last fall in the President's Cup, and it was basically the same exact team. Reed, Thomas, Mickelson, Tiger's there as a vice captain. You've got DJ, Brooks. The whole team is there, and they're having a great time. Difference? Maybe that they won? I don't know. But they're all having a great time. So now all of a sudden, a year later, you know, why can't we all just get along? I mean, it just, to me, I'm just not quite buying all of that. And then, oh, we're tired, and Phil Mickelson can't play golf anymore. Well, folks, if you are not aware, the PGA Tour has started up the 2018-2019 season, and Phil shot a bogey-free 65 yesterday, 7-under to lead after round one. I think he's 1 or 2 under today. He's tied for second. So somehow he traveled from Paris on Sunday and played in a golf tournament in Napa, California on Thursday and is leading the tournament. But he's lost his game. He can't play in the Ryder Cup. He was a terrible captain's pick. So, you know, all of this stuff kind of adds up. And it just got me to thinking, Al, instead of just jumping on the bandwagon and beating these guys down,
right?
We're going to call them up and we're going to say, hey, PGA of America, Ryder Cup Task Force, here is our bulletproof Keith and Al 5-step guaranteed plan to future success in the Ryder Cup. What do you think about that?
I like your idea, but I'm not sure how much input I would have.
Well, no, I you're just there as the scapegoat.
Oh, thank you.
Obviously,
that's what I figured. I'm there to carry the clubs.
Well, this is chances are if they keep playing like they do, it's not going to work out. So I'm just pulling you down with me. But if it does work out, you're truly earning your 3%. Okay,
right. Thank you.
So to me, it seems obvious some of these things, but then my life has all been surrounded by golf. So we're going to go over a couple of these things.
I'm ready.
First and foremost, we accumulate points to get on the Ryder Cup team for 2 years. Do you even know where you were 2 years ago or what you were doing? I mean, you'd have to sit down and really think about it, right?
I do. I have to think where I was at 9 this morning sometimes.
So. You and me both. So we're taking points from literally now for the Ryder Cup that's going to take place at Whistling Straits in September of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That just doesn't make any sense to me. Let's cut the points down to 1 year prior. 1 year prior, those are the people that are playing well.
I like that.
My justification for that is that look at Tiger Woods. A year ago, 1,200th in the world. Not really a Ryder Cup captain selection.
Right.
Okay. Now, within a year, he made it on the Ryder Cup team.
Mm-hmm.
Lord knows he was pretty hot.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't play well, but he was pretty hot. Okay, so that's, Al, you writing this down?
I am now.
Okay, good. Okay. All right. So number one, 1 year of points.
I'm recording this as well, so.
That's a good thing. All right, here's another one.
Yes.
Let's talk about schedules or length, right? The Europe group that runs the Ryder Cup, all right, they only schedule their matches 2 Ryder Cups in advance. So they're about 7 years out.
Okay.
The Ryder Cup is scheduled in the U.S. up until 2036. So forget where you and I were 2 years ago. There's some kid that's like 6 or 8 years old that's going to play in the Ryder Cup in 2036. And you mean to tell me that we need to be prepared for this? Or is this just like, you know, a money grab. Because if you're really like trying to select sites and give us the best home court advantage, right? Why are we selecting sites that we never really play as tour events? So they selected the site where they play the French Open every year. Every European tour player that's been playing for the last 5, 6, 7 years has played that site at least once a year. That's enough for those guys to get to know it. Mm-hmm. And the guy who scored the most points for the U.S. this year was Justin Thomas. Do you know where he was this summer during the French Open?
No,
he was playing in it. Okay?
Oh, okay.
Only U.S. team member who went over and played in that tournament. Hmm. And he earned the most points of anyone on the U.S. team. Hello? Hello? Is anyone listening? Okay. So, number two, right? The schedule idea that we have the U.S. sites all the way out, like all of these years, is crazy. All right? Style of play. All we ever do is play stroke play. All the American games are set up for stroke play. 72 holes. Tiger Woods is always going to win for 72 holes. Or the best player, Dustin Johnson, is going to win over 72 holes. How many matches in the Ryder Cup are 72 holes? Well, if you're Francisco Molinari, they're like 15 or 16 holes. Great press conference question. Francisco, what did you think of the 17th and 18th hole this week at Le Golf National? I don't know. I never saw them. I know you're laughing because that was a poor Italian accent, but he had a really great point. So the style of play, maybe we need to, with the U.S. team, play a little bit more match play over here in order to train to be better at this. It's just a thought. That was bullet point number three. You're getting all of this, right, Al?
I am.
Okay, because I'm building up to something.
You're going to quiz me the second half.
All right. Course setup at Le Golf National, right? It was totally different than what the U.S. is used to, right? So why not start to set up our golf courses if we're getting ready for a Ryder Cup year like a European Ryder Cup courses? The PGA Tour and the PGA of America have got to be on the same page here. What's the big deal? If they're going to make the greens a little slower and tighten the fairways, why don't we do the same thing? Why didn't we for the last month do those things in the FedEx Cup? So some of these things, I know, Al, you're shaking your head, mainly because either your pen's out of ink or this is making complete and total sense to you. But in any event, right,
yes,
you want number five.
I do.
So here's number five. And here might be a little bit of a controversial one. But what I'm going to say is this. Captains. There's like 9 vice captains. There's like 16 vice captains. Then there's the wives of the vice captains booster club. I mean, it's unbelievable. They travel over there, not like in a G4. They're in like a 747 with how many people are involved in this thing. And then there's Jim Furyk. All right, all these captains, right? And the captains have to make their selections. And the players say they want to be involved in the process. So my whole thing there is that if the players want to be involved in the process, it's a team of 12. The top 6 get in on 1 year worth of points. Those 6 guys, they get together and they pick 6 more guys. They pick their partners in crime, right?
Right.
If we do that, then we're not going to get any of this drama where these guys are going to be like, oh, you know, like, I don't want to play with so-and-so. I don't want to play with Al. I don't want to play with Keith. I don't want to play. Come on now. You know, it brings me to something that's going on today. Our men went over to play in the men's 4 club, which is a match that we play with Cherry Valley, Beedensbrook, Trenton, and Springdale. And they're playing over at Cherry Valley this afternoon. And good luck to the men of Springdale competing against those 3 other clubs. Hopefully we'll do better than the U.S. Ryder Cup team. And my assistant, I'm obviously here. And the other pros are playing too, but my assistant Robbie Fenton's over there competing, so good luck to him as well. And one of the things we do as head golf professionals to try to make the event so much fun is that we let the guys play in pairs, mm-hmm. and they get to pick their partners. So obviously, Al, I would pick you.
Well, I appreciate that.
So if they were so worried about who was playing with whom, pick 6 guys on points and let the other 6 guys, let those guys get together with the captain and pick 6 more.
Right.
What's the harm in that? You can't tell me that politics doesn't help decide who gets on it anyway, because look at Phil and Tiger being on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, well, certainly Phil is a pick.
Well, look at you and I being together. There's politics there. I mean, you're picking me.
There's 2 things I don't ever discuss, Al. That's religion and politics.
Okay.
Not here on Springdale Golf Live.
All right.
But good try, though. In any event, one last thing I want to bring up before we head out to break.
Sure.
Is that this Wednesday, I'm going to do my annual tour around the course of Springdale 5.5 times. I'm going to play 100 holes of golf for charity, and it's called the Holes of Hope. And anyone that's interested in sponsoring me, and it goes out to 2 very important charities, and one of the reasons I bring this up now now is because we're about to hear from one, and that's the New Jersey Golf Foundation and mm-hmm. all their programs. And it goes to Hopewell's number one charity, which is Christine's Hope for Kids. And, you know, they just had their big golf outing this last week at the club. And so we're going to try to raise for, this is going to be my eighth marathon.
Wow.
In 7 years, we've raised $85,000. So
fantastic.
We're trying to get at least another 10 this year, and maybe in 2 years, we're going to get over $100,000 raised for these two wonderful charities. Mm. So if you'd like to sponsor me, please just hit me up on Twitter at KJPGA or call the shop, and we'd certainly get it done. Or you could just go to one of their websites and hit PayPal and just say you want to sponsor me for playing 100 holes of golf on Wednesday, pretty much all day, Al.
It sounds like it will be.
I'm hoping for good weather.
You'll have it.
We're going to go. It's going to be like Groundhog Day. We're going to go around. Hey, kids, look, Big Ben, Parliament. We're just going to keep going around.
Great community outreach you're doing. I like that. Good luck with that.
We've done it for a number of years. It's something I feel really strongly about. That's why mm-hmm. I wanted to mention it today. Great. And hopefully somebody out there will be inspired to donate a little cash. Most people do a dollar a hole, and we really appreciate that, but it doesn't have to be that. And again, if you want to do it, Christine's Hope for kids.org or the New Jersey Golf Foundation, and you'll hear their website in just a second. Yep. Folks, it's 3:15 here in Princeton. Play the music, Bet Al. And it's also 3:15 up at Fenway Park. A little over 4 hours to my Yankees beat down the Sox. We will see y'all in a little bit, folks, on the other side.
The New Jersey Golf Foundation, the charitable arm of the NJPGA section, is committed to positively impacting lives and communities through the game of golf, with a focus on three core pillars: youth, military, and special needs. The NJGF delivers dynamic programming under the guidance of PGA professionals, so individuals from all backgrounds can experience the game of golf in a welcoming environment. To support the NJGF or learn more about programs and special events, visit njgolffoundation.org. That's njgolffoundation.org.
Hey, it's Clay Travis of OutkickTheCoverage.com. I'm sure you already have a morning routine. Mine used to involve feeding children and changing diapers, but in an unfortunate twist for my wife...
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I no longer have time for that.
I hate you.
Outkick the Coverage has come to your radio every weekday morning, whether you want it or not.
Weekday morning, 6 a.m.
So join us when you wake up.
This is 920 The Jersey.
Let's get back on course as Springdale Golf Live continues on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Once again, Keith Stewart.
Welcome back to Springdale Golf Live. All I want is a remedy, Al, right? You're listening to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. That's it right there. The Black Crowes Song of the Week, Remedy. And it's been our theme of the week, of course. We laid out our 1,000 points of light, our 5-point plan there for the PGA of America and their task force. We're going to email that down. We'll take a picture of your list, your handwritten list, and we will...
If you want a picture of it.
We will and we'll email that down to the PGA of America.
I think what we can do is just take the audio segment, and we can send that off to them, too, and let them actually hear it.
It might sink in a little better.
You think?
You know, here's an interesting thing.
Go ahead.
And you know, I like this show to be as well-rounded as possible, mm-hmm. but it's a known fact that you're 80% more likely to remember something if you engage more than one sense.
That's true.
So let's just say that you're looking at something and you read it out loud to yourself. You've now engaged sight and hearing.
Right.
So you are 80% more likely to remember it.
What was that?
Well, you were only listening, Al.
Sorry. We're only 6 feet apart, so I guess I should look once in a while, right?
6 feet. It's like 3 feet. What are you, Irish?
Okay.
Jesus. Okay. Anyway, moving right along. Here we are. So Remedy was the theme of the week. And for Remedy, everyone here, it's getting towards the end of the season. And what's most important is that the golf season is about to wrap up weather-wise, but it doesn't have to wrap up for you to work on your golf game. Mm-hmm. And I get, you know, emails all the time about the show, and they said, Keith, get back into the instruction piece from time to time. I said, okay. So we have a break this week with the PGA Tour just getting started and a little bit of a lull here after the Ryder Cup. So I thought it'd be nice to give everyone a little remedy that they could work on for the winter months and the off season. And I was going to give you my secret to evaluating your own golf game and to try to figure out how it is you can come up with a remedy in order to get better pushing forward into 2019. Believe it or not, Y2K has passed, Al, and it's going to be 2019 next year. It's crazy. I know. So we're going to do a little math, a little fact checking here as we go through it. But for all my golf fans out there, pay attention for a second. Just we're going to go through a couple numbers here, and my point is going to be very valid once we get through this. But 18 holes of golf on your standard par 72 golf course. So it's going to have four par threes, four par fives, and your standard 14 par fours. So the golf course that you experience many times in your life playing. 18 times in 18 holes, we're going to tee off. So we're going to mark down that number 18. On that golf course, we're going to have 14 second shots, because the four par threes generally have one first shot, and then the second shot would be a putt, and we're not counting putts yet. And then on the par fives, we're going to have four third shots, because there's four par fives. Well, 18 plus 14 plus 4 is 36. So 36 shots in my round, Al, and your round are going to be a given. They're going to happen. All right. So these 36 shots, we can't remove them. You have to hit 18 drives in 18 holes. Otherwise, you haven't played 18 holes. You can't. Granted, don't get me wrong, and I know people are raising their hand, but my drives stink. They're no good. Hang on. But you have to hit them. This is about the accumulation of numbers and shots in your round. Now, so if you were to go out and shoot 86, that means there's 50 more shots that take place after those 36. So how can we, that's the only number we can lower. And of that, usually, generally, somewhere between 30 and 32 are putts. So if you took five putts off, you take five off that 50 number right away, you've lost five shots. So practicing your putting could certainly be one way to find this remedy. But let's say it's 30 of that 50, and then there's 20 other short shots that take place, or a punch out of the woods, in your case, Al, when you drive it into the woods. So there's these extra shots. How can we improve our golf game over the winter months, right? So the next time you go out, or the next couple times you go out, I beg of all my listeners, on their scorecard, so you have a place to keep track, I beg of all my listeners to go out, and I want them to keep track of not the 36 given shots, not the 18 drives, the 14 second shots, and the four third shots, but I want them to be able to keep track of the other shots that add up to their score. So those other shots are going to be putts, chips, bunker shots, pitches, punches out from the woods. So I want you to keep track of those, and I want you to tell me which category you have the most of. Now, for a lot of people, that's going to be putting. And it's easy for me to say, work on your putting, or it's also easy for me to say, go back and listen to our podcast about 5 weeks ago where we did a whole segment on putting.
Mm-hmm.
In any event, I want to concentrate on something else for today's discussion. Let's say that those short shots, those short pitches, and those short chips are an area where you're really good putter, and you only have about 28 putts around, and that's really, really good. That's a low number. So, but you have 15 chips around, or your chipping is so bad it leads to more putts. So you've now identified, you evaluated, you very easily but accurately evaluated where your golf game's at. So you say to yourself, okay, self, I need to be better at my little chips and pitches around the green. I need to get them closer to the hole. So you're going to dial up the phone, and now all of a sudden you call up your local PGA professional. And that's me, because you're listening right now. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to explain to you my three specific keys to go over how to hit these short shots really well. And I learned this while I was working down at Isleworth from 1998 to 2003. And when I was working there, Al, there was nine touring professionals that were there. None more prestigious than Tiger Woods, and mm-hmm. and none more at that time fun to work with or talk to than guys like John Cook and Mark O'Meara, Stuart Appleby, some really good guys. Payne Stewart. So I remember having a conversation with John Cook, and Cookie was the best. And he started to talk to me about how to hit these short shots, and he was very, very good at them. Former U.S. amateur champion, almost a major champion, just a fantastic, fantastic striker of the golf ball, really nice short game, great guy. And John said to me, Keith, I said, yes, John. He said, here's what you have to do. Like, these things are, here's three imperatives that you have to do to be able to hit these short shots. And at that point, I was like you in the last segment, Al. I was pen and paper in hand, more mentally than physically, but I was there. And he said, for number one, he goes, you got to understand how the club works. The club works in such a way that we don't want the leading edge to dig into the ground. So everything that we're going to do is to preserve the fact that we don't want the club to go digging into the ground. And our reaction to that is usually then to kind of like jump it out of the way and scull the ball across the green, or just kind of catch the top of the ball and top it. So he said, we got to get all our weight on our front foot. So if you're a right-handed golfer, that's your left leg. If you're a left-handed golfer, that's your right leg. So key imperative number one, John Cook style, short game expertise, was that we got to get our weight on our front foot. Number two, you got to make a decision. You want the ball to go low, or do you want it to go high? Now, we could talk about this infinitely based upon the situation, because golf presents you with any myriad of situations around the greens where you have to hit high and low shots. Let's just categorize them. If it's going to be a high shot, it's going way up near where the driver goes in your stance, up by your front foot. Again, right-handed golfer, left foot. And if you want to hit it low, it's going to go back by your right foot or your trail leg if you're a right-handed golfer, left-handed golfer, left foot. So got to decide. Make a decision. It's got to go, are we going low or are we going high? And the shot or the texture of the land will dictate that. If you could get the ball on the ground and rolling, it's easier to do. Put it by your back foot. If you need to put it up in the air, like over a bunker, and make it stop and come to rest quickly, you got to go high. It's going by the front foot. All right. So, but never in the middle. Middle's like being indecisive, and we can't go there. Plus, we're really trying to get the club to engage the ground properly. So, weight on our front foot. Are we going low? Or are we going high? And then the last or the third key imperative, and he made this look so easy, but then I started doing it myself, tight lie, rough lie, all of these types of situations, cart path, wherever my golf ball ended up. Mm-hmm. And I said, boy, John Cook is really onto something. I mean, he's onto about $40 million in career earnings, Al, but that's neither here nor there.
That's right.
So, and he's also on the Golf Channel, you know, reiterating these things. He's a fantastic, fantastic gentleman, and I love listening to him, because getting to know him personally, he's a character, and the game of golf needs plenty of characters. So the third imperative, don't let the club head pass the handle. So as we come through the shot, we need forward shaft lean. And what that means is that the handle is going to be leaning more towards your front foot than behind the ball as we strike the ball. So if you're a right-handed golfer, as the club passes through, the handle has to be to the left of the ball, at, you know, as you face the ball, looking down at it. So we can't have that handle stop and then the head pass it by, kind of like what a grandfather clock would look like as it swung back and forth. So can't let that head of that club pass by. If it does, we're getting into the dig zone. You know, get the backhoe out. Beep, beep, beep. Turf's coming. And once the turf comes once, then the next time, we're getting Skull City. Mm-hmm. Population, you. So you don't want to be in that town. So this leading edge issue is so vital. And if you want to work on your chipping and your pitching, you've really got to spend some time working with these three keys. So I urge everyone to go out there and evaluate their game. And if you find yourself in a situation where you're looking for a remedy for that chipping and pitching, well, you just had it right there from one of the best players in the game, now on the Champions Tour, and someone I spent a great deal of time with about 20 years ago, and just a fantastic gentleman. But weight on that front foot, Al.
I have plenty of weight on my front foot, trust me.
Are we going high or are we going low?
I'd like to go far, but...
Yeah. And then the third one was, don't let the club head pass the handle. Get that handle swinging. Keep the club head behind it. Give it a little bit of shaft lean. And the best players in the world and you will be doing the same thing around the greens. And when you create that evaluation of your game, now you'll reduce the number of chips you have. And then you're going to lower your score. And you'll reduce the number of putts because you'll chip it closer to the hole. And that's certainly what we want. So that was just something I wanted to bring to the table today, Al. A little remedy, a little way to evaluate.
I like your remedies a lot. I hope that I can put them into work. My only concern is, how do you count the shots when you hit the windmill?
Well, we are going to go over, I believe it's the first Friday in January, we're going to go over Keith's six keys to mastering the art of miniature golf on Long Beach Island. All right.
I love it.
So there's that. Well, okay. So I'm getting the high sign here from Al, and I know that only means one thing. Once again, I've got to wish the best of luck to my men's inner club team today over at the four club match at Cherry Valley. Go get them, boys. Go get them, Robbie Fenton. This weekend, we have a big weekend at the club. It's our member. It's the 19th Pete Consoli Cup, named for Pete Consoli, the longtime pro at Springdale, whose job I now possess. You know, he was there like 40 years. Fantastic gentleman. I know his birthday. He'll be 81 on Sunday. Fantastic fact there on Consoli Cup weekend. It's just an amazing time to be around. I know I got to turn it over to Doug Gottlieb here. I hear the music. So thank you to my listeners. Thank you to Al on the board, Springdale Board of Governors, Troon, Ryan Stemser, General Manager, all you folks. I'm heading to Springdale. Where are you headed? We'll let the tower be your guide from New York to Philadelphia and, of course, everywhere online. May you all have a Springdale day.
You've been listening to Springdale Golf Live with Keith Stewart. Keith returns to the tee next Friday afternoon at 3 on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.